Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, public radio's specialty game that traces word origins all the way back to medieval roots.
It was the guy that had the least plague.
That's right.
I didn't know that the plague was a quantitative experience.
That's right.
We specialize in undiscovered vocabulary. Words like roughed.
Listen, I've just spent 4.5 hours in a car with Tony. Never once did I hear him roughed.
Remember when I rolled down the window?
That's true, you did. You were very
and I said, look at that condor.
Tonight, we come to you from the University of Hartford, the home of the famous Hartford Hiss. And finally...
It'll only hurt a little bit.
Says You, coming up next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder in the storm damage section of Far Rockaway, Queens. Workers are ripping up the floor in a flood-damaged home. Carol Harry lives in Far Rockaway. She was able to return to her home this weekend for the first time since Superstorm Sandy hit.
I got a little stuff done today to pick up for my house, like water. I had no water, no toilet paper, no bleach, nothing. Nobody don't stop at my door and tell me nothing. I knows nothing.
There's still much to do 2 weeks after the storm and the nor'easter that followed. And amid power outages and gasoline shortages, New York City is getting set for its annual Veterans Day parade. The parade kicks off in about an hour. President Obama's due this morning at Arlington National Cemetery to take part in the wreath-laying ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknowns. Two Afghan National Army soldiers are in custody after they turned their weapons on NATO forces this weekend. NPR's Sean Carberry reports that one NATO service member was injured in the latest insider attack in Afghanistan.
The two assailants reportedly turned their weapons on members of the Spanish-led provincial reconstruction team in western Badghis province. NATO troops returned fire and wounded one of the attackers. Afghan and NATO officials are investigating the incident. According to recent NATO data, there have been 42 insider or so-called green-on-blue attacks this year. 29 of those attacks have been fatal, claiming the lives of 57 NATO personnel. NATO claims that the majority of the attacks result from personal disputes, though the Taliban have increased efforts to infiltrate Afghan security forces and carry out attacks on NATO troops. Sean Carberry, NPR News, Kabul.
Syrian activists say government forces are attacking a border area near Turkey using helicopters and artillery. The move comes a few days after rebels captured a key border crossing during an advance in the northeast. Also today, spillover from Syria into the Golan Heights apparently prompted Israel to fire what it calls a warning shot. Two smartphone competitors have agreed to stop suing each other over patents. NPR's Jim Hawk reports on a wide-ranging agreement.
The legal dispute began in March of 2010 when Apple filed a complaint against HTC, claiming the Taiwan-based company violated 10 Apple patents. 2 months later, HTC accused Apple of violating 5 of its own patents. In the first settlement between Apple and the maker of Android smartphones, all current lawsuits will end. The chief executives of Apple and HTC issuing statements welcoming the settlement, which includes a 10-year joint licensing agreement for all current and future patents from both companies. HTC's chief executive said his company is pleased to have resolved its dispute with Apple, so HTC can focus on innovation instead of litigation. The financial terms of the Apple-HTC settlement were not released. Jim Hawk, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News. Jordan has sentenced its former powerful spy chief to more than 13 years in prison for embezzlement of public funds, money laundering, and abuse of office. It's the first high-profile case from an anti-corruption crackdown that Dale Gablack in Amman reports is being driven by 22 months of popular street protests.
Once one of Jordan's most feared officials heading the country's intelligence agency, Mohammed al-Dahabi will be spending more than the next decade behind bars. He also has to pay a penalty of about $30 million in fines to the state, and he will need to return about $34 million he allegedly laundered and embezzled during his 3 years to 2008 as the chief of intelligence. Analysts say they were expecting a much lighter sentence, but the criminal court's presiding judge told Al-Dahabi that he deserved the harshest punishment for betraying the Jordanian people. Al-Dahabi denies any wrongdoing and says he's being turned into a scapegoat. For NPR News, I'm Dale Gavlak in Amman.
Two people now reported dead and more than a dozen homes damaged after an explosion last night rocked several residential blocks in Indianapolis. The blast forced about 200 people to leave their homes. Pam Brainerd lives in the neighborhood.
I was laying on the couch watching TV, and I must have fallen asleep, and I just heard the most humongous bang. I didn't really know what had happened, but my front door was off the frame.
The cause is not yet clear, but Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard has dismissed speculation of a possible plane crash. Fire officials say emergency responders are searching for other possible victims. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs and their innovations to solve the world's most pressing problems at skoll.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in West Hartford, Connecticut comes from the good folks at Connecticut Public Radio and the University of Hartford, offering graduate and undergraduate programs in seven distinct colleges, on the web at hartford.edu.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you. From the stage of the Millard Theater on the campus of the University of Hartford, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's come from the north seeking solace, because he sure could use a new haven. Barry Nolan. Gee. She loves the drive west out of Hartford. It must be Avon calling. Garland Waller. And beware, for his intellect's quite mystic. And who knows what tonight has in stores, Mr. Tony Khan. And who's the leader tonight?
We decided to go totally anarchic, and I guess I'll be the captain.
Tony.
There you go.
Will be the captain. To my left, team two. He's thrilled to be in Connecticut, because his luggage is someplace else. Murray Horwitz. She's ecstatic she's here in West Hartford, because her GPS says she's not. Lenore Shannon. And she's never happier than when dining neath the light of a nutmegger moon, Miss Carolyn Fay Fox. All right, who's going to step up?
The nutmegger Mooney here.
Carolyn. Well, Captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of definitions and derivations. For 5 points, define, and for an additional five, try to divine the origins of the following common words and phrases. Carolyn, to knuckle under.
To knuckle under is to say uncle, to say you win, I can't handle it anymore, to give up.
Yeah, that's 5 points, to submit to stronger will or overwhelming circumstance, that's right.
Yes.
That's 5 points. Where do you think this comes from?
From a knuckle sandwich?
It does not.
It does not.
Think so.
To knuckle under. Does it come from the physiognomy of the hand when it's in a fist position?
No. I don't want to steer you that way. That's not really it.
Okay. Murray.
When you surrender, do you give up like that and put your knuckles under?
No.
Well, you do. I do.
Oh.
I surrender all the time.
And I bet you surrender all the time. Knuckle under.
Take it from me.
Knuckle under. Okay, Lenore, your turn.
Kneading bread or kneading dough? Or
that's a wonderful guess. Completely wrong. Wonderful guess.
You get on your hands and knees, your knuckle.
Well, you're actually getting on your hands and knees for this.
All right.
Think games.
Leapfrog?
Shooting
marbles?
Marbles?
Shooting marbles is exactly right.
All right.
You know what? How many points do I give him for that?
How many points do you get? Or how many points do you give?
Yeah.
Well, I believe we're due 10. Were you thinking of more?
No, I think we gave you a hint there. How about 7 points for that? What do you think?
Okay.
That's good?
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. 7 points.
Richard, I also think that a game of mumbledypeg gone wrong.
Good thing.
Don't you think?
It is from marbles. When playing marbles, one gets down on one's knees and rests the knuckle of the shooting hand on the ground.
Right, and then
that posture is reminiscent of the humble obsequiousness that you would think is connected with to knuckle under. So that's where that came from marbles. Try this one, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Definition and derivation of the real McCoy.
Well, the real McCoy is the real item. It's the one from which all the other models are made.
That's true, the genuine article.
So I wonder if that suggests what the derivation might have been, that there was something that was imitated a good deal because of this individual's exceptional lack of qualities having to do with his being distinct. How about that?
I was wondering where that was going to go.
The real McCoy, have anything to do with the West?
Does it have to do with the Hatfield and the McCoys?
It does. Well, some people say so, but no. Most people think this predates it by
can we go for the people that says it does?
Well, you can get a point for it.
Yeah. Would it be some item that was manufactured?
It is an item that was manufactured.
It sounds like a tractor to me.
Is it spice?
It is not. That's a great guess. It's not spice. I know where that guess comes from. It's not
Murray
spice.
Murray knows.
Farming had nothing to do with it?
No, not really. I think the other side might have a clue. Do you have any ideas?
The inventor McCoy, an African-American. It was a pump, I think. It had to do with agriculture. It was a machine that was used, and if I'm not mistaken, on farms or with oil pumps or something like that. But he was the real McCoy, and his advertising said, accept no substitutes, use the real McCoy.
You know something? That is one of the derivations. Very good, Murray. I can't believe you knew that one.
Believe you. I made you think I did it.
Yeah, that's... but that one dates to the 1880s. We have one here that dates to the 1860s. Anybody from the audience have a guess? That is exactly right. The real McKay. It is an advertising slogan from the 1860s in Scotland. It is for McKay whiskey.
Oh.
The 1860s Edinburgh distillation from Messrs. McKay. It was not the cheap watered down version, but in fact the real McKay. And that's where that comes from. Very good.
So
from the audience.
So how did it become
McKay? All right.
And whiskey in Scotland has no E.
Oh, is that right?
FYI, yeah.
Murray, try this one. Definition and derivation of silver bullet.
Silver bullet. They were playing Rossini before. Can we get the William Tell Overture out of here?
Yeah, there you go.
Be great. Silver bullet. Help me with the definition. I mean, I think
Bob
it's something
Seger's
that kills.
Band.
It's the one bullet. It's the one bullet that will kill
a vampire.
Werewolf.
A werewolf?
Werewolf.
A werewolf.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I thought
right.
That
the
was a stake in the heart.
I was about to say before I was interrupted, it's the one bullet that will kill a werewolf.
That was a long pause, Murray.
That is the actual derivation, yes. What's the meaning, of course?
It's the magic, you know, one stroke that will level all, that will secure the victory. And right,
that's 10 points.
Sorry.
Very good. Nice job.
Great.
The silver bullet is a miraculous yet elegant and direct solution to a complex problem. It's from 18th century Central Europe. It was deemed the only sure way to kill a werewolf or supernatural being. So that's where it comes from. Try this one, Garland. Definition and derivation of to dock one's pay.
Well, to dock one's pay means to take out one's pay, to
reduce it.
Reduce it.
That's correct. That's 5 points. Where might this come from?
Does this have to do with shipping or stevedorage?
Nothing whatsoever.
Maybe it has to do with ferries.
Nothing whatsoever. No.
Sorry.
Nothing nautical, like, you know, being paid only when you step aboard the ship.
No, it is nothing nautical at all. It is a different use of the word.
How about
dock.
Whiskey? How about...
Does it have anything to do with the medical profession?
He went right there.
Not really, no. I don't want to send you in the wrong direction here.
So to dock one's pay, take it, Garland.
would this have to do not so much with depriving a person of a salary, but making it very difficult for them to secure it?
Yeah.
By placing it somewhere that it would be so out of reach... You just say, dock it.
No. It is to penalize by cutting another's wages. That's
true. Yes, right.
I think the other side might have a thought.
We have a thought. It might be like docking a horse's tail.
That's exactly right. Very good, you guys.
It is. Very good.
It is the use of the word dock as in to dock the tail of a dog. Or a horse, or anything like that, and it means to cut short. To dock is to cut short. And that's where it comes from. Lenora, try this one. Definition and derivation of brain trust.
Brain trust.
Yes.
Oh. Well, a brain trust is a group of people responsible to solve a specific problem in a corporate or academic or scientific environment. Smartest people that you can get to come together to solve that particular problem.
That's 5 points.
And where did it come from?
Yep.
It came from, Murray was talking about this just earlier, weren't you, Murray? this team is a brain trust. As we will
comes
to
from
you.
Trust in the sense of a bank, for example, but it's not a brain bank because you can't really, you know, make deposits or withdrawals.
Well, I've been making withdrawals long time. Well, I'll tell you.
There must have been a trust in that respect, that it gains interest.
I think it was put together and first used in the administration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the New Deal. And he had all these smart guys, and they were almost all guys. I guess Francis Perkins was a member of the Brain Trust, too.
That is exactly right.
Oh,
10 points.
Nice guy.
Good job, you guys. It's from FDR's New Deal. It was his handpicked.
Were they also known as the Kitchen Cabinet?
Well, actually, wasn't the Kitchen Cabinet originally Martin Van Buren?
Kitchen Cabinet, I thought it was Jackson, but...
Jackson, you're absolutely right. Jackson. It was originally Andrew Jackson. This is the 1932 version of this, and this is... I'm sorry, is there something going on I don't know about?
He just showed me the score.
Your son is taunting us.
Absolutely nonplussed. We have...
Says you, where the questions are hard and the score doesn't matter. Always remember. And finally, Barry, definition and derivation of accolade.
An accolade is an honor for achievement.
It is.
And it was once a physical object that was given to the winner of a competition.
Good guess.
It was a soft drink. No. It was a soft drink that was given to the winner of the pentathlon, I think, in ancient...
Made from the fruit of the aqua tree.
Classic accolade.
Not even remotely close.
No.
It was the first endorsement in the Olympics.
It is. You get 5 points, and Ben, they have a...
Well, does that have anything to do with the Latin derivation, ac?
Laude?
It has something to do with that, but
colo, collade?
No, this is later than that. This is Middle Ages kind of thing. It is an honor or recognition for ability or service is an accolade. Can you imagine where this might come from? I'll give you the hint that it is Middle Ages.
You got a piece
so
of
So it
your
was
enemy?
Something that had to do with the Crusades.
Well, you know,
it was the
way.
Guy that had the least plague.
That's right. It's one or the other. It's either the Crusades or the
guy who had the. I didn't know that the plague was a quantitative experience.
Yes, right. It was the person that had been bled the most.
I think we're done here, don't you? Anybody on the other side have any thoughts?
Well, I didn't think it was blood, but I thought it was a purgative, that you, if you won the competition, you got an accolade.
Yeah,
an
I know we're done mind. Now. I yes, I... anyone in the audience have a thought on this? It is exactly right. From the front row, the accolade is in the process of knighting. The ritualistic tapping of the sword on the shoulder, symbolizing the last insult or injury the bachelor would have to endure as a person of no nobility, was called the accolade.
You know, they didn't tell me that when they did it.
No.
You know.
Sorry to hear that, Sir Murray, but thank you from the audience. Very good. And let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Heron Trio from the Hart School. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points are up for grabs. To Tony, if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word whiff it.
Whiff it good.
W-H-I-F-F-E-T. Whiff it. Folks?
I say whiff it.
There are so many ways to enjoy Says You. You can listen each week, as we hope you do. You can download a show if you miss it. You can attend a live performance, like our upcoming shows in Syracuse, New York, or Boston. And now, there's the book, Says Us, The Scripts and Quips of Says You, Volumes 1 and 2, now available for gifts, for traveling, for holding open the back screen door for the dog. Information about all these items is available at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. We hope you'll take a look. Join the fun. Shop till you drop. It's all things Says You at saysyou.net. Says You returns after this from home. Says You's fall caravan of cajolery stops next in Syracuse, New York. November 16th and 17th, for some salty language, a syntactical salute to the Salt City. On Friday, November 16th, we're at the Palace Theater on James, and on Saturday, November 17th, Hendricks Chapel on the University campus. Tickets, information, and details are available at sayu.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we promise to show you how to join the fun. So please join us November 16th and 17th for some salty language in Syracuse, a live performance of Says You. Trio from the Hart School here at the University of Hartford under the direction of Robert Black. Please thank Jennifer Hunt, Kayla Herman, and Anshi Don. Thank you very much. We have had a few moments with the word whiffet. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
It could be something you dust with. It could be when a puppy passes gas. But it isn't. A whiffet is a bird's nest that's constructed on the ground as opposed to in a tree.
A bird's nest on the ground is a whiffet. Sounds logical. Could be. Or it might be something else. What say you, Murray?
Well, somebody's got to make the baseball joke, but it won't be I. I wish I'd have known this word. Actually, all of my life, it would have saved me a lot of lame excuses, because it's a way of being wrong. It's a lot better than blind alley. But when you're trying to solve a problem, if you come up with an idea and then reject it, you whiff it. It is a whiff it. It's in a term of logic. In logic, it is a step or solution that is later rejected.
A solution later rejected is a whiff it. It could be. Or it could be something else. What say you, Lenore?
So a whiff it, it's an English word, a bold little kid who comes from sort of the wrong side of the tracks, but you wouldn't know it necessarily at first. Like the Artful Dodger would be a whiffet. He's a tough little kid and very bold, and he's not really very important, but he'd like you to think he is.
Whiffet. Tough little kid.
Whiffet.
Thinks he's the catch meow, but.
Right. He's
not really.
Yeah.
It could be that. It could be that solution later rejected, or it could be the bird's nest on the ground. It is one of those three, and the choice, Tony, is yours.
I thought Carolyn came awfully close with her first fake definition, because if I'm not mistaken, there is the standard poodle, the toy poodle, and the whiffet.
It's actually a miniature greyhound.
So small that a breath of wind will just literally...
Possible.
Even with a strong leash. I think a bird's nest that's fallen on the ground is known as a bird disaster.
It's actually an omelet.
Or an omelet. Exactly. Touche. A step later rejected, again, that's a very odd kind of a concept. And we have a boo-boo, I believe. Perfectly nice English word, the boo-boo. So this kind of leaves me thinking that it might be the bold kid, the sort of British smart mouth, you know, the little kid. And I love the psychological insight that she also provided, which is that, you know, the bigger the mouth, the smaller the character and the sense
of
self.
Exactly right.
So I'd like to go, guys, can we reverse our terrible slide in the numbers here?
No, I don't think. I like the idea of the... the bold kid, I can imagine this being used in Dickens, But when she encouraged us just then by saying, oh, yeah, it made me think, no, that can't be it.
So it was the oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I'd go with bird's nest on the ground.
That's the one that sounded right. I mean, it sort of matched to me, the whiff it.
Something a dog or cat could smell.
Well, I hadn't taken it that far.
I could find it. Yes.
But that's the one I like.
Okay.
But the whiff it is a sort of a mathematical, logical thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't know anything about that. But,
it would probably also have Greek origin, because those were the guys who invented arguing, you know.
Well, Tony?
Yes. Well, having heard the considered opinions of my teammates, I'm going to reject them. No offense. And I'm going to go with the bold kid.
Oh, okay.
Lenore, Tony has, in the face of great opposition from his team, has decided that he's going to go out on a limb and say that Whiffet is a bold little smart aleck kid. Is that in fact what it is?
Consider yourself right.
Ah!
Whoa.
10 points. Wow.
Be still.
Be honest.
Be
how many of you out there?
Oh,
I'm sorry. Be honest. How many of you out there actually had that? Not too many. Very good. What does the definition actually read?
It reads, a whippersnapper whose audacity belies his insignificance.
Is a whiffet. Very good. Let's go on to round 3. A return engagement with the round we're now calling Thesaurus Rex. You think a boo is going to... Thank you! Thank you. It's nothing like a hiss welling up from the audience. They're really... I'll give you 3 definitions for a common word, one at a time. The faster you can tell me what that word is, the more points you'll amass. An example from last time, if I said staunch and enduring...
Bold, right?
No, and then followed it with dark ale.
Stout.
Stout. And so you didn't need heavy set. Get where we're going here? Let's give this a shot.
Okay.
Carolyn, what word am I describing? The first definition, a complete failure.
Richard.
Oh, wait, with proper nouns
allowed.
He paid
us before the show started. It was great.
A complete failure. Zero.
No. It is not zero.
No, flop?
A flop is not correct.
Oh, see, I told you.
To a complete failure, add distaff protuberance.
Distaff protuberance?
Yes.
Excuse me?
Boob.
Actually, no. But
that
deserves
something.
I think Barry has
it. Distaff is the opposite side of Falstaff.
Yes. And 2, a complete failure and a sobriquet for distaff protuberance, add a sculptured representation of
bust.
Bust. Ah. A sculptured representation
of five
points.
So boob was close.
I think it's fair.
I hate to say it, but I think she should get more.
No, I think we're good with that. Try this one, Tony.
Okay.
What word am I looking for? First definition, to supply as directed.
Comply?
No, good guess, though. To supply as directed, add to raise the level of.
Raise the level of to supply. Raise that to.
To supply as directed and to raise
to
the
supply
level
as
of.
Directed.
Raise the level of. Huh.
That would be boost-like thing. But to supply as directed.
Ooh, it's quiet over there.
Provide, boost. Besides comply, to when you fulfill?
You know what? I'm sorry. No, that was a second guess. It is fill, and that's close enough. Yes, so that's 7 points. To supply as directed, to fill a prescription, to raise the level of, to fill a hole, or to put us into and to put into as much as can be held is to fill.
Your son, my very good friend,
yes,
would like to know how many points.
That is 7 points. They get 7 points for that. Try this one. Yeah, nice job. Well, this is the hardest one of them all, Murray. Give it a shot.
Oh, great.
In the opposite direction.
Opposed.
No, but a good guess. Good guess. To in the opposite direction add on all sides, around.
On all sides, around. Surrounding, encompassing.
No.
Away.
Away doesn't do it.
Opposite direction and on all sides, around.
Bipolar.
Right, bipolar. Turn around.
No. And two, in the opposite direction and on all sides, add almost reasonably close.
Almost reasonably close.
Reasonably close. Approximate,
near.
Not approximate.
Near.
No. Don't say it out loud. Does anyone in the audience have a thought? No, I guess this is...
Oh, no, this is you skunked all of us here.
I think we might have skunked there. Does anyone on this side?
About?
About is correct. From the, from the other side, about.
Somebody who spent time on a ship.
Yeah.
In the opposite direction, about...
I'm from
excellent.
Ohio. We don't know about ships, and we think it's a boxing match.
Oh, okay. About. All right. Well, tough one. Try this one. Try this one, Garland. Destructive lesions on plant leaves.
Destructive
blight.
Is not correct. To destructive lesions on plant leaves, add an enjoyably exciting experience. Enjoyably exciting experience.
Well, you're the expert on that. You should know.
Not a spree.
Destruction lesions, enjoying. Destructive lesions on plant leaves, an enjoyably exciting experience. No, this is a harder round than I thought.
As in cut a rug, cut.
Enjoyably exciting experience.
Yeah. And to those two, the lesions and the experience add a violent gust of wind or shock.
Blast.
Blast is exactly right.
Wow.
4 points. Nice job, Tony.
Wow.
Those lesions are blast. The enjoyably exciting experience, of course, is to have a blast. And we go on. Try this one, Lenore. What word am I thinking of? First definition, to straighten.
To straighten?
Yes.
Okay. Iron?
No. That's a good guess. To straighten, add civic entitlement.
Civic entitlement.
Right. Is correct. That's very good.
Excellent. Thank
7
you,
points for that.
What was the third one? What was the third?
The third was correct in accordance with fact.
Oh.
Is the third one. And finally, Barry, try this one. What's the word I'm looking for? First definition, gridiron unit.
I'm sorry, gridiron what?
Gridiron unit.
Squad.
Squad is not correct. Good guess. To gridiron unit, add depressed and dejected.
Downer?
If you're with the Patriots, it's squad.
Downer. Down.
Down
is correct. Very good, Tony. 7 points. You did not need soft, fluffy feathers to get down. Very good. That was a tough round, you guys. Thanks very much for playing that round of Thesaurus Rex. And let's go on to round 4, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Please create a definition for the word ruffed. R-U-F-T. Ruffed. Folks? Just a quick reminder, coming up this fall, Says You heads to Syracuse, New York, November 16th and 17th for live performances of the show. And there's our holiday matinee in Boston, December 30th. Tickets, information, and details for all Says You tapings are available at SaysYou.net. And this holiday season, we're proud to announce the publication of our second book, Says Us, The Scripts and Quips of Says You, Volume 2. It's the consummate travel companion, a thoughtful gift. Everything to make the winter shorter and more fun at SaysYou.net. Briefly, Says You pauses, just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back. Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at SaysYou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high quality copies available. That is the Heron Trio from the Hart School at the University of Hartford. Thank you very much, ladies. We appreciate that. We have had a few moments with the word ruffed. We will go first to a puzzled-looking Tony Khan.
No, we're actually delighted. It's just I'm too tired to show it as anything other than...
I see.
Well, there are, in terms of volume... and duration. There are four unseemly Anglo-Saxon verbs for responding to food that doesn't agree with you. There is the belch, the burp, the ruffed, and the puke. Or, for editing purposes, barf. So ruffed is a prolonged resonant belch.
Are you going to demonstrate?
I think the definition may have served that purpose.
Yes. A prolonged resonant belch is a ruffed. Could be, or it could be something else. Garland, what say you?
Well, when I was around 11 or 12, my very southern Virginia grandmother would come to visit Minna. And she would come and she would say, come sit beside me now and tell me about your beaus. So I was 11. So I just started making stuff up. And when I was 17, she still said, come sit beside me and tell me about your beaus. And I just kept making up beaus because I never had any. So they would get more elaborate as I went along. But a beau is an unimportant lie.
You mean a ruff?
A ruff.
A ruff.
A beau. A bow is also... No. A ruff. Trust me. No. Yeah, sorry. I'm a little... Yeah. A ruff. Ruffed.
Ruffed. A is ruff an unimportant lie.
Is an unimportant lie.
It was a long time getting there, but we got there, didn't we? We got there. It could be that. Or it could be something else. Barry?
A ruffed is, I'm surprised not everybody here knows it, because it appears in the greatest piece of poker haiku ever written. A ruffed is to misdeal in a game of cards. The haiku for a ruffed is an ace, an ace, an ace, an ace, a king. I can't believe this. A ruffed! Shoot.
Everybody out there counting the syllables? I know I was. I get from that it's a misdeal in a game of cards. Is a ruffed? It could be. It could be an unimportant lie. Or it could be a prolonged, resonant belch. It is one of those three, and the choice, Carolyn, is yours.
Well, everybody knows that a ruffed is a floating dog boat on a river.
Such hostility. It's not indicated. It really isn't. Do you have
more water?
These are dog people down here. You don't want to be messing around.
Now, all right. What do we think, team?
We think... I mean, listen, I've just spent 4.5 hours in a car with Tony. Never once did I hear him ruffed.
Remember when I rolled down the window?
That's true. You were very
and I
considerate.
Said, look at that condor.
You were very considerate.
So the card thing sounds too much like rough in bridge when you...
What is a rough in bridge?
It's a... When you
whenever
throw
I
you
play bridge,
Trump.
I'm rough, so.
It's too similar to that. Although Richard sometimes goes down the card route, so it might
Richard
be,
is a card.
It might be that, but it sounds too much like to rough. So I
rough sounds a little too onomatopoetic for me.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does, and I think one of us might be familiar with a word that means a prolonged resonant belch, because that's the kind of word that.
Well, certainly with kids, you would know that. Yes. Kids would be doing that all the time.
So does this leave us with Garland, an unimportant lie?
It does. You know, and as soon as I saw the word, I thought, well, ruffed, and, you know, in German, rufen is to call. So maybe it's some kind of call, a kind of, you, I don't know, never
like
mind.
A call and say, kidding?
It's a white lie. It's a small lie to kind of trick ruffed somebody. Or something. I don't know.
Ruffed?
I'd go with Garland.
I'd go with Garland, too. What do you think?
I'm with you.
All right. Are we all together?
Sure.
Yes.
All for one, one for all. We'll go with Garland, an unimportant lie.
Garland, they are all together. They think that ruffed is an unimportant lie.
And Barry's smirking.
Barry's smiling.
Is that, in fact, what it is?
He loves it when I succeed. I made something up.
Oh, good job.
Yes, you did. That was a bluff.
Very good. You know, we're married.
All right, audience, it's your turn. What do you think? How many say the prolonged resonant belch? How many say the misdeal in a game of cards? Barry, I don't think you fooled anybody in this room. Is a ruffed indeed a misdeal in a game of cards?
No.
It is not.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Because a ruffed is
back off, dude. I'm going to roof. So, it is not only a prolonged belch and a resonant one, it is, according to this, a significant
That's what it is. My son calls that a burp burger.
You know, now I'm remembering there's a word, eructation, which means belch.
Which means belch. Yeah.
Let's go on to round five. No way this audience gets out of here without being subjected to another round of off the rack. From the... Sorry to disappoint you, madam. From the following puns, clues, and obscure references, please tell me the famous magazine I have in mind. An example from last time, Sibilant Singers was Esquire. Okay. There's that hiss that I've come to... There's that Hartford hiss, boy, that I just... All right. What magazine is brought to mind, Carolyn, by the clue Rice Retreat?
Rice Retreat?
Yes.
Grain?
Rice retreat.
Are we talking about rice in terms of the grain?
No, I'm not.
Rice in terms of the school in Houston, Texas?
No, I'm not.
Condoleezza? Condoleezza Monthly. Oh, you are. You're talking about...
Condoleezza Mopolitan.
You're not serious. You're not serious. What magazine is brought to mind by Rice Retreat?
Rice Retreat.
Retreat is to flee, is to...
Flee is to go away, is
no.
to...
The rice is right.
Like spa. Con spa. Con, like a...
Hideaway. Connoisseur magazine.
No?
No.
Connoisseur is not a retreat. Connoisseur.
Condé Nast?
Condé Nast is exactly right.
Really?
Yes.
But Condé Nast is not a magazine. That's not a magazine.
That's a magazine.
That's a publisher.
We'll take the 10 points, but it's not a magazine.
It's a publisher.
Oh, okay.
It's a travel magazine.
Travel.
No, that's Condé Nast. That's their brand travel magazine. It's right. There's not a Condé Nast magazine.
But you got 10 points.
Yeah, we'll take it.
We'll take it.
I think you get 10 points.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, say what you want. A Rice Retreat is a Condé Nast, yes. Tony, the magazine brought to mind by the clue, simple chocolate frosted pastry.
Something about eclair? Something Claire? Marie Claire,
that's true. A simple chocolate frosted pastry is a Marie Claire. Yes, Marie Claire.
I'm telling you, man.
The downward spiral continues. Try this one, Murray. The magazine brought to mind by the clue, Jacqueline Rerun Remonstrance, perhaps.
Who?
J-A-C-L-Y-N.
So that's one of the Charlie's girls. What was her name?
Right. Charlie's Angel. Jacqueline Smith.
Smithsonian.
Smithsonian is correct. Jacqueline Rerun Remonstrance is Smithson again. Yes, Smithsonian.
Yeah, sure it is.
Yes, and... And to get one step worse, we go to Garland. Garland, what magazine is brought to mind by the clue West Hartford, USA? Oop. I heard a gasp in the audience. West Hartford, USA.
America. Something to do with nation, country. Country gentleman.
Connecticut?
What's the something in country? Town and country.
Country living.
Town and country
is right. 10 points.
Wow. Oh. Very good.
You like that one. Okay. West Hartford, USA is town and country. Try this one, Lenore. TV's 60-minute bivalve extravaganza.
TV's 60-minute bivalve extravaganza.
Yes.
What
magazine is brought to mind?
60 Minutes.
clam gala.
Our clam. Our daily clam.
You actually
have
it.
Not 60 minutes.
Did you say what? What did you say?
You actually have it.
Our daily clam.
No.
Our.
I'm from Rhode Island. We have a magazine.
Yes. I...
Oh, our... I know it. Hurts so good, don't it, Harry?
Let me check this out.
Clamsmopolitan.
No, our. I think our starts.
Our.
He's right.
Our.
He's right. Barry has it.
TV
60-minute bivalve extravaganza.
Right. Special.
So it's oysters, clams.
I can't believe
it. Is there clam in it?
Clam is in it.
Clam is in it.
Clam is an extravaganza. Is a gala. Is a.
Clamapalooza.
Clam.
Clam jam.
I can't believe
it. Clamor.
Clamor is exactly right.
How did you do it?
TV 60-minute bivalve extravaganza is, of course, the clam hour. Glamour.
Clam hour.
And finally...
Oh! Feeling sorry.
One more and it's over. I feel like a pediatrician. Just one more.
It'll only hurt a little bit.
That's right. Try this last one, Barry. Magazine brought to mind by the clue... What's it like to be gorgeous?
What is it?
Well, it's hard.
I can understand.
What's it like to be gorgeous?
So is there beauty?
Yes.
House beautiful.
House beautiful is exactly right. What's it like to be gorgeous? How's beauty feel? That's exactly right. How's beautiful? That was a great close. Gave you 84 points this week, a winning total. Congratulations to Tony Khan's team. That is... That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Christine Zywosinski, to Paula Bleck, to Michael Bernard, to Robert Black, and to all the folks here at the University of Hartford. Scherr and Salkin write the words, Frank Cunningham captures the moment, and Zachary Moore is the first lord of the arcanery. We close with help from Benjamin this week. Last week we were watching a movie, and I complimented one of the actors on his extraordinary portrayal of dumbfounded. Ben says, Dad, you've been doing dumbfounded your whole life. How sharper than a serpent's tooth. We'll see you all next week. Support for CJU in West Hartford, Connecticut comes from the good folks at Connecticut Public Radio and the University of Hartford, offering graduate and undergraduate programs in 7 distinct colleges on the web at hartford.edu. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says you. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
Metro Nashville Public Schools introduces the Museum Magnet Schools, where students participate in inquiry and critical thinking to engage in the world around them. More information about the Museum Magnet Schools is available on the web at mnps.org or by phone at 259-4636.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.